After mass shootings, news media compete to cover and advance the stories. That involves publicizing photos of the shooter, announcing the number of dead, and explaining how and why the shooter decided to open fire. But does the way the media covers such tragedies actually incite more of them? In the wake of yesterday's shooting at Seattle Pacific University, the Seattle Police Department urged the media to focus on the heroism that ended the violence rather than the shooter. Here's Assistant Police Chief Paul McDonough.
I'd really like to remind everyone here that the actions of the subject in this case do not define Seattle Pacific University nor the city of Seattle. And the actions of the students and staff on site, those are the things that define Seattle Pacific University. So as you hear the information here today, I'd hope you keep that in mind and realize that this story is not about an evil act, but about the people that actually lived through this scenario and assisted each other when things were pretty tragic.
That's Assistant Seattle Police Chief Paul McDonough. Dr. Park Dietz has given a lot of thought to how the media covers violence. He's a forensic psychologist and founder of the Threat Assessment Group. It's a Newport Beach, California-based group devoted to workplace violence prevention. Dr. Dietz has worked on a wide array of mass murder cases, including those of Jeffrey Dahmer, Theodore Kaczynski, and the Columbine killers. In your opinion, are these mass shootings becoming more prevalent?
It's very hard to know that, but this month it sure looks that way. And it looks that way every time there's a big story and the inevitable copycats follow along.
How does the way the media portray shooters perpetuate the kinds of situations that we saw yesterday in Seattle, 2 weeks ago in Santa Barbara?
Well, the biggest issue is the effect it has on a segment of the audience that is at risk of doing this. And that segment of the audience are people who are depressed and suicidal, people who are angry and blaming others for their problems, perhaps because they're paranoid, and people who are armed or know how to get armed, which in the U.S. is pretty easy. So if we portray a shooter from a news event as cool or powerful or attractive or raging against a target that others are hostile toward, then there are going to be a lot of those vulnerable audience members who are going to identify with the person. And the longer we continue the coverage, the more colorful, emotionally arousing, and biographical about the shooter that coverage is, the more imitators will attract. And some of them won't actually carry out the act for a very long time. So, for example, if it's true, as news are reporting, that the shooter at Seattle Pacific University was obsessed with Columbine and made a pilgrimage there, this is 15 years after the news coverage that he's finally achieving his goal.
So he's kept that in the back of his mind, or maybe the forefront. We don't know at this point. Is it that the media should not report the shooting, or is that it's that we shouldn't talk about the shooters?
It's how the coverage is done. Certainly, there's going to be coverage, and some of it can be done to good effect for people and without increasing crime risk. The guidelines I'd give are, first, no photos of the shooter looking cool, powerful, or attractive. We only want to see unattractive mugshots or photos of him dead on an autopsy table. Those kind would be fine. Second, no TV or radio biography about the shooter in the first year after the incident. And keep the print media low-keyed, never a photo of the shooter above the fold or on the cover. John Hinckley, for example, told me that one of his motives for attacking President Reagan was to be on the cover of Time magazine, because he'd never achieved anything, and his parents had big portraits of his siblings hanging on the wall, but nothing about John, and he wanted to outdo his siblings. He made it to the cover of Newsweek, too. That's not a good motive. We don't want anyone to have the motive of getting on a magazine cover from doing a crime.
I'm speaking with forensic psychiatrist Dr. Park Dietz. So in the past couple of weeks, in the aftermath of the shooting in Santa Barbara, we have seen probably hundreds of articles about the perpetrator, Elliot Rodger. Is that what you're talking about as what media should not be doing?
Yes. And the Elliot Rodgers case is not the worst of them, but it's a pretty clear example, since there was a mass murder in New Brunswick, Canada, in the past few days. There's this case occurring at Seattle Pacific. The likelihood is quite high that these people came out of the woodwork to do these crimes, in part because they were aroused by that press coverage.
Yesterday, the Seattle Police Department representatives who were on the scene urged the media to cover the hero from the shooting, the heroes, and not the perpetrator. Is that the kind of shift in how you believe communities or media communities should respond and cover these sorts of crimes?
Without question. That's precisely what I've been advocating since 1993 when I first started singing this tune.
1993?
Yes. I have been on CNN at least three times saying, if you keep this up, we're going to have another one within 2 weeks, and I've been right all three times.
But isn't the media shirking its duty if they don't talk about the shooter and who that person was?
There are ways to do it that are fine. There are ways to do it that create risk. Let's stick to the ways that don't create risk. Simple factual reporting without histrionics, without arousing the fear and level of intensity among the public. For example, after the threat's been neutralized by death or arrest of the shooter, reduce the public's fear response by avoiding sirens, flashing lights, and hysterical narration, because that kind of unnecessary fear-mongering traumatizes the public and it inspires the imitators. On the other hand, sadness and grief are appropriate emotions, or admiration for the hero is appropriate.
Dr. Park Dietz is a forensic psychiatrist. He's the founder of the Threat Assessment Group, an organization devoted to workplace violence prevention. He's conducted extensive interviews with many of the country's most notorious mass murderers, from Jeffrey Dahmer to Andrea Yates. If you're just tuning in, a lone shooter entered a building on the Seattle Pacific University campus yesterday. He shot three students. One died at Harborview Hospital. The two surviving victims are still at Harborview as of this afternoon. We'll continue to update this story as warranted. This is KUOW Seattle. I'm Marcy Silman.